Morning. All right, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And we're going to read those verses. 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God and all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now we saw last week how that the Lord served his people in the end of the days of his flesh. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And we saw how he served and ministered to the people, to the apostles, as an example for us, that we might know how to love and serve our brethren. And to a degree, we're going to carry that same thought forward as we look here at hospitality and at the gifts that the Lord works in the hearts of his people to serve them and to serve the Lord while they're here. So this morning's message will pick up that contemplation of gifts. And our title this morning is The Gift. The Gift. And we'll have three divisions. We'll look at hospitality, then we'll consider the gift, and then we'll see examples of gifts in the scripture. So our text this morning begins in verse 9 saying, use hospitality one to another without grudging, right? And so carrying forward from last week, we see that this all stems from the grace and the mercy and the power by the Spirit of the Lord worked in us, whereby we serve one another in love and in joy by his Spirit, right? And so he works these things in us irresistibly, and they always come forth for the purpose which he purposed it to serve, and that's why he sends it. So hospitality is a gracious work that the Spirit of Christ works in the hearts of his people. Now in the scriptures, we see it first spoken of among the pastors of the Lord. It says in 1 Timothy 3:2, it says, a bishop or a pastor then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So as there's need and occasion, the pastor, the bishop or the pastor here, should be showing hospitality to his brethren and to those that care for him as well. And then in Titus 1:7-8, it says it again, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Now, as your pastor, I wish I could stand here. You know, I realize I've only been here for a little bit of a time and we're getting settled, but I do wish I could stand here and say, well, look at all the examples. I've had you all over for a meal and spent lots of time with you. And I have to be careful with my studies, but you know, I don't have a good example of having you all over all the time and ministering to you in that way. And everybody's threshold of hospitality might be a little different, you know, in some people and whatnot. I certainly would never turn you away, but I certainly, you know, hear what the scripture is saying and thinking about it and praying about it, that I might do what is right for you, brethren, as well. But as far as, you know, being able to boast, I'm very thankful and very happy to say that for each of you, I can boast and brag on each of you, every one of you. I have an example. I was able to think of how you provided some hospitality for me and or my family, so that when I was coming out here to preach for you, every one of you, you know, there was many of you that kept me in your homes and provided, you know, a place for me to sleep and food for me to eat. There was, you know, since we've been here, some have had us over for dinner and a meal with you, and if you didn't do that, you still paid for one of my meals when I was here at a restaurant. So every one of you have, you know, shown me and my family hospitality as well. So I can certainly brag and boast of what the Lord has done in your hearts and for one another and for me as well. But, you know, for some, hospitality comes very easily, and it's a gift that the Spirit works in the hearts of his people. It's a gift that he gives to some of his people in particular, where you can see that they go above and beyond and are oftentimes, you know, showing hospitality. But it's a gift that differs as the Lord, you know, gives it out and provides that Spirit for his people. It says, Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then he went on to say, Paul did in verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. But even though it's a gift that the Lord works in the hearts of his people, it's not an effortless thing, right? It takes energy. It's your resources. You know, it's your time that you're devoting to prepare, and also the cleanup afterwards of providing for the people. It's also it's your resources that as in like your food and your money, you know, because it costs money to provide all those things for someone else. It's your time as well. Instead of doing this thing, you're doing something else for another and providing for them that they might have a nice time. But there's definitely effort in it. But turn over to Matthew 10, and look at verse 38. Matthew 10:38. And notice here the relation that we see with death to self and serving others. He says in verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So that, brethren, you know, as we entertain and provide for one another and serve and minister to one another, there is a death to self in that. But also, there's a blessing that when you have someone over and you're fellowshipping with them in the Spirit, as the Lord has blessed their heart and given them a word, as he's taught them and comforted them, as you're fellowshipping with one another and speaking of the things that the Lord has filled your heart with, that joy, you may be ministered to as you're providing food and a nice time for them, and they're just thankful for what the Lord has done there and giving you that heart for that, and they speak the things that have comforted them in the Lord, it blesses and ministers to you. The Lord may use it for them to speak a timely word that is a comfort to your heart and a joy to your heart in service to them. And think about what our Lord did himself, in that he literally, physically went to the cross bearing the sins of his own people, that we, through him, might have an abundance of entrance into the kingdom of God, to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and to feast upon our Savior on the bread of his body, on the blood of his life that he provided for us, that we might know him and have fellowship in him. So we see how our Lord died to self, that he might minister grace and mercy and sweet sweet fellowship with the Father to us, and provided that for us. And Paul reminds the Ephesians, when he was speaking to them in Acts 20, when he said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then that word to the Hebrews, which says in Hebrews 13:2, let brotherly love continue, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And there's a sweet example of that if you turn over to Luke 24. In Luke 24, we see that there were two brethren in the body of Christ that were walking on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord came upon them unawares. He came upon them. They didn't recognize that it was the Lord, and they're speaking together about the things that had happened recently in Jerusalem, how that Christ was crucified, and they had hoped that he would be, that this indeed was the Christ, that he would arise for them and establish the kingdom, because they didn't understand yet what the Lord had accomplished in his death. And it says in verse 28, Luke 24, 28, and they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. So that, you know, we see them receiving the righteous man's reward. That reward of Christ, who is the righteous man, who is the prophet sent of God, he blessed them. He opened to them. He opened to their minds and their hearts the scriptures, so that they could understand the things that were being said in the scriptures. And it says in verse 31, their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So that they received that reward, and their hearts were warmed by it, and their hearts overflowed with joy and gladness in what the Lord had showed to them. And so they rose up immediately and went all the way back to Jerusalem, which I believe is something like 6 miles. And they went all the way back to Jerusalem just to tell the brethren what the Lord had done in appearing to them. And they said, verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So we see there how the Lord uses that hospitality and that breaking of bread together and sharing with the brethren as a time where our hearts are warmed, especially as we're mindful and thinking of and rejoicing what the Lord has done for us. And when we speak that word, that's a timely word in a timely manner. And maybe it seems insignificant to us, but to the hearers, they rejoice in it and are glad for having heard just that word of Christ, the righteous man, to hear of what he's done in the hearts of his people. So we should indeed pray when we are going to be with one another, if nothing else, at least not a stumbling stone to our brethren, but also just to be glad and thankful, have a thankful heart that the Lord has worked that in the hearts of his people. And when you're thinking of the Lord and mindful of what he's done for you, it makes you that much more willing and glad and open to share what the Lord has worked in your own hearts. All right, now back in our text, let's look at the gift in verse 10. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So the gift that we receive is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ himself is the gift. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So Christ himself is the gift. It's the refreshing that Christ provides to the believer. It's the forgiveness of sins that he reveals to us in our heart. It's that healing that he gives to us in our conscience and relieving us and releasing us from the guilt of our sin and our iniquity and the punishment which we deserve. As we think about those things and it weighs heavily on us, we see that Christ came and he bore the punishment of sin to relieve us of that guilt and to relieve us of that pressure and that desire and that drive to try and fix things ourselves and undo all the crimes that we've done. But rather we see how he's worked our salvation, that he's accomplished our forgiveness and our salvation so that we rest in him and we no longer strive and try to do works to undo the damage that we've done by our own sinful acts and our own works. We rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in Him and trust that He is sufficient and provided all things. So Christ Himself is the gift, and because of Christ, because of what He's done, the Lord, God the Father, pours out blessings upon us. It's all in Christ. It's all in Him. It's not that we enter through Christ and then leave Him behind, and now because of our good works and our attempts to try and please God, that now He blesses us. That's not how it works at all. Our blessing is only and ever continues to be because of Christ. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not because you did something or you didn't do something. It's because of Christ. And that's what we see in Ephesians 1:3, where it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. So it's always in Christ. All our blessings are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that He Himself is our fellowship. He Himself is our reconciliation to God. He's our adoption, our acceptance in the Beloved, and He Himself is our inheritance. He's everything to the believer, and God continues to pour out His blessings upon us in revealing Himself to us and opening the Scriptures to us, all because of and in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never apart from Him. There was a powerful message that Peter preached to the brethren in Acts 3. In Acts 3 and verse 14 it says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." In verse 15 he goes on, "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." But now listen to the tenderness, the encouragement, the encouraging word that he provides to them, because the Lord has His sheep there in that crowd. He has His sheep, and He's going to speak a word for them that should be a tremendous encouragement to the sheep of the Lord, to His people. He says, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled." And think about that. You who struggle with guilt and being weighed down and burdened with your sin, and you think, "Surely I've done it this time, and the Lord has cut me off, and there's no hope for me." He charged these men and women in that crowd with crucifying the Lord Himself. That there were some there who were whose voices were lifted up in agreeing with the Pharisees and the scribes to crucify Him. And yet He says, the Lord did all these things. He's showing you. He's showing you. He's showing each and every one of you who know your sin. He lets you know your sin. He lets you know your weakness and causes you to feel it and to see what sinners we really are, so that we might see and understand and rejoice in the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that He's provided that great of a salvation, that though you are a sinner and I'm a sinner and deserving of hell, He makes us to know it, that we might rejoice in just how freely He provides the salvation for His people in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're disengaged because you think, "I'm just so guilty of a sinner and not worthy of His life," don't pause. Don't let that keep you from coming to Him. He shows you what a sinner you are, let you feel it, so that you might see how great a salvation He has provided for His people. If He's shown you that He really is the only salvation that He's provided for man, that there's no other way for us to be saved, then keep on moving forward. Keep going towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep looking to Him and trusting Him and rest in Him, because that's why Christ came. He didn't come to make you feel good about yourself, in yourself, in the sense that you're so confident now you don't even think about the Lord. He allows you to feel the infirmity of your flesh. He allows you to see the deadness and the darkness of your own heart, that you see what a merciful and gracious and kind and willing Savior we have provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's provided all those things. And He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." God's fulfilled the covenant. He provided the Son, just as He promised all the way back. It was about 4,000 years earlier when He promised that He would send the seed of woman to provide salvation for his people. He provided him, and he's saying he's fulfilled that word now. 4,000 years spoken earlier that he would provide the Christ. Now he's provided it. Christ has come, and he says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Because they were hearing what the Pharisees were teaching, and they were looking to those things, and they were trusting in the works of their flesh. He's saying, be turned from that. Don't trust in your works. God fulfilled the covenant by providing the salvation in his Son. Trust him. Just be turned from these wicked works, because he's provided the one in whom there alone there is salvation, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So Christ himself is the gift that God has provided, that in which God freely forgives his people, not looking to any work that they've done for or against what Christ has done. It doesn't matter. He destroys all the works of the flesh. Everything that we've done, whether we think it's good or we think it's bad, he destroys those things, because he himself is the one work, the one work that God has provided to save his people, the Lord Jesus Christ himself there on the cross. So we are blessed of God to come in the Lord Jesus Christ before the throne of God, covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and free of our sin and the fear of those things. He says, whom the heaven must receive. If you come in Christ, the heavens must receive you. Because you're not coming in your own works. You're coming in the work that Christ has done. The heavens must receive Christ until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. So we have this gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we enter into the heavens, by whom we enter into that throne room rejoicing and resting, that we are accepted of him because we come in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's given that to us and brought us forth by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, every man hath received the gift, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're ministering to one another in that spirit because of what Christ has worked in us and revealed to us and shown to us that he's accomplished our salvation. That's the spirit in which we minister to one another and speak to one another and serve one another and show hospitality, and which is a service to one another. It's in that spirit of what he's done as good stewards of what he's ministered in our own hearts. Now, turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. In verse 14, he says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now those talents are basically what they call a piece of money. So he was giving them a piece of money, but we can understand them as gifts which he has given to us. It's of his goods, of his goods. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. So that the trading that's going on is what occurs here between brethren in service in the church. This is the type of trading that's going on where we have opportunity to serve one another and do for one another. You see that, right? In the keeping of the nursery, when the women take their time and they go back and miss a message, that they might help care for the children and to provide, so that the young mothers get an opportunity to hear the message once in a while as well. You see it just in the setting up and the breaking down of this place and pushing the couches and the chairs away and then pushing them back here again when all is over, setting up that wall, this wall, putting the sign out there, preparing the music. All those things are ministering. They're to create an environment in which we can just freely worship the Lord and rejoice in him. So don't despise don't despise that little thing that you do. Just thank the Lord that He's giving you a heart and willingness to do that little thing. And the Lord blesses it, because it all enables your brethren and your brothers and sisters just to sit and hear the word. So be thankful, you know, just for those little opportunities. That doesn't happen when you're sitting on the couch at home all by yourself listening to a message. You don't have that same opportunity to minister the gifts that Christ has worked in your heart, right? And you who sat on the couch, I myself included, and listen to messages, you know there's no real exchange going on there with your brethren. You're not serving them. You're just hearing a good message, perhaps, but it's not the same thing as when you come here and make that sacrifice to serve one another. But he that, verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, which is actually a comfort to me when I think about how long it's been since the Lord was here, that He's letting us know it's a long time before the Lord returns. The Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, Thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then again he does that with the one who had 2 talents. In verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. And there is a sense in which we do see that, right? Sometimes we, you know, are asked to do something, we have an opportunity to do something, and we withdraw. We think, I don't feel like I'm qualified to do that, or if I have the talent to do that. And so we pull back, and who ends up picking it up? But one who has many talents usually says, oh, there's something else to do? Give it to me. I'll do it. I got it. No worries. We'll just fill in the gap, and they pick up the slack, and they take it. But, you know, because it says, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And he cast the unprofitable servant out into darkness. But we do see those things even here among brethren. But, you know, just to clarify, lest you be afraid, he's speaking of the natural man. The one who has 1 talent is the natural man. That's his one thing by nature. That's all he has is his nature, and he's the unprofitable servant. He's the one who knows the truth of God and yet denies the truth of God and just hides away in the dust that he is and in the dirt that he is, and does nothing that's profitable or beneficial whatsoever to the Lord's people or for the Lord's people. He does nothing to serve the Lord, so he's just an unprofitable servant. So everyone who's left for themselves in a state of nature is just an unprofitable servant and doesn't bring forth that which is pleasing to the Lord. But, you know, that's why it says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But I would encourage you, though, if you're asked to do something, just trust the Lord. Just trust Him. Just settle it in your heart. If you're asked, just trust that the Lord has done it for a purpose and had you do that. Because in serving your brethren, there is a blessing in it. There's a joy in it, and the Lord teaches us through that. I didn't start off preaching. It was just a little something here and a little something there, just a willingness and a desire to serve the Lord. And He used that and grew it as He would grow it. So, you know, just don't be afraid, because if you look to your flesh is never going to say, yeah, I'm ready to do that. Sure, I can do that. I'm fit to do that. No, every one of the brethren who does anything in the Lord's work knows that they're unfit and unworthy to do anything like that. So just trust him that he'll use it and grow you and strengthen you in that work, and that he'll profit it to the brethren. All right, now, the third one, examples of gifts. Turn over to Ephesians 4. All right, in verse 7 it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." All right, so let's see what the Lord accomplishes in the hearts of his people by his grace and mercy, that it's of his grace and not of any merit in us. Verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Drop down to verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And that's what Peter was saying back in our text, when he says in verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So that what we see is that the Lord is the one who provides all the gifts that we have in the church. He's the one providing it and working it in the hearts of his people and giving them that strength and that ability. And they're all gifts that are there to edify in the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was saying earlier, just even putting out the hymnals, it's all there to ensure that your brethren can just come in, sit down, and be ready just to sing and rejoice in what Christ has done for us. So don't despise even that little work that the Lord's laid on your heart, that he's given you a joy to do for your brethren and one another. So, think about it. It's having a hospitable spirit, even in that service. It's the Lord's work in that, so that you can just sit down and be nourished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be nourished and feed upon his body, upon the bread of his body and his blood, and just rejoice in that work that he's done, so that you don't need to worry about it and stress about it or get delayed in it. The Lord provides all that for you, and you see the hospitality and the ministration of his spirit being worked for his people. All right, turn over to Romans 12, and this will be our last text. Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And he's saying, we're not trying to make any big deal out of it. He's just saying, the Lord has laid down his life for his people. He's provided all things for us. And so therefore, just that service that we provide for one another, he says, it's just reasonable. It's just doing that which is reasonable. The Lord provided for you. Just do that which you're able to do by his Spirit. And he says, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And you know that as well. When our hearts are set upon this world and we have all these goals that we want to accomplish in the world or things that we want to do on the weekend, that's when all of a sudden it becomes a hard thing in the flesh just to serve the brethren and to part with our resources and our goods for the brethren because our hearts are set on the world. It's just an easy thing to see and understand. And it's the Lord's grace and mercy when our hearts are set upon him, when he warms our hearts and breaks that bread to us, then any service that he calls us to do becomes a whole lot easier because now it's not in the flesh, it's done in the spirit, in the new man which he's created. Verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." All right, so there's that as he's ministered it to us, as he's revealed himself to us, to whatever degree he's comforted you in your hearts, is the degree by which you'll be willing to serve your brethren and willing to do that when you see the opportunities and the need arise. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, right? We understand that. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, right? And you understand your foot does a different job than your hands do, which is different than what your eyes do, which is different than what you use your mouth for. And, you know, it's all different gifts that we have in the body that have different parts. Same thing among the people, among the brethren. We all have different gifts that the Lord works in us. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy or preaching, let us prophesy or preach according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And he goes on in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And the Lord works all that in his people as he grows us together, settles us in what Christ has done for us, and reveals that to us. He works all those things. It won't be a strive and a burden for us to serve one another and to care for one another and to provide for one another in that way. Just trust him and pray. Pray, be watching in prayer, and trust that the Lord will open up that opportunity for us to serve. And, you know, just trust him that he'll work all these things in us, and pray about him, and the Lord will reveal it. But I pray the Lord will bless it to our hearts and help us as we grow here in the grace and in the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for what you do in the hearts of your people. Lord, that you've provided a full, free, and sufficient salvation for all your sheep and all your people. And Lord, that it pleases you to work different gifts in the hearts of your people, and different talents and different ways that we can serve one another. And Lord, we lift up especially that brother or sister who struggles and is afraid. Lord, just reveal Christ in the heart to see that they are free and delivered from their sin, that we would not be burdened down with guilt, but that we would rejoice in what Christ has done for his people. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.